Welcome to the Church at the GABA, the year-long yarn podcast, where we'll be talking through the intentional interim pastor process, what it looks like to have an intentional interim pastor as a part of your church, helping you walk through change, helping you seek the Lord, hear from the Lord together as a church. And we'll discuss things that God is doing, things we pray He will do, and seek to be led by the Spirit and grounded in the Word together. We hope you enjoy us in this journey together. Join us in prayer as we look to the Lord to be at work, because we know He's always working. We look forward to joining Him in what He's doing. Great. Well, let's get started, Dave. As we get into this time together, just want to say thanks so much for joining us in our church. It's been a couple months now since you started, and I've been so thankful just how we've started this process together. But I want to start off, who is Dave Luthy? What does it mean for you to be in ministry? What is your history in ministry? What's your history in Christianity or your life? What brought you here?
Well, the most important thing you could probably find out about me is mostly about my family. So I have a wife called Sarah. There's 6 years difference between us. But this year, we're celebrating 10 years of marriage.
That's great.
We now have two young boys. We have Zechariah, who's 3 years old, and baby Raphael, who is about 2.5 months old. So we're very busy trying to manage them at home. We also have two dogs, two little Labradoodles. One is Judah and the other one is Monty. And we're currently living on the north side of Brisbane at Bracken Ridge, which is a long way from the church at the Gabba. It takes a bit over half an hour to get here, but we're really enjoying being a part of this community here. When it comes to my pastoral journey, I've been in vocational ministry for about 15 years. Working at a range of different churches in different sizes. I was first started at Cleveland Baptist on the south side of Brisbane, operating as the associate pastor there, mainly taking care of youth and young adults. Then moved to the Sunshine Coast and was a pastor at a place called Life Point Baptist Church. For those of you who traveled to the Sunshine Coast on your Christmas holidays, you may have been to their Christmas Lights program. It's a very big thing that happens there. And most recently, I was the senior pastor at Bracken Ridge Baptist Church on the north side of Brisbane for about 6 years. And this year, I'm really excited to have a whole year devoted to church at the Gabba, just helping to understand this church and trying my hardest to help the church achieve who God wants them to be.
Oh, that's great. Looking back over your years of pastoral ministry, when did you feel like that sense of calling to join ministry, and what did that look like?
My first real sense of being called into ministry actually came in my first year out of high school. So when I first finished high school, I had no idea what I wanted to do, and I thought a general good thing to be able to study, if you don't know what you want to do, is to study business. And so I went away and did a diploma of business and business management. And across that year, one of the pastors at my church, he came and just spoke to me, and we grabbed lunch several times. He really discipled me very, very well. And he said to me, "Dave, I see a leadership gift on your life. I see lots of leadership potential in you. And I would really like you to consider the possibility of exploring whether pastoral ministry might be something that God's calling you to long term."
I think so much of ministry happens in those moments of other people recognizing that God is working in your life, even often before we do, and then bringing us on that journey with the Lord. And that doesn't necessarily always mean full-time ministry for every single person. But I think recognizing that, man, that journey of discerning God's will for your life is one that isn't done alone.
Well, I was convinced when he spoke about pastoral ministry that I was going to go on and become a worship pastor of a church. And right now, I'm very glad I'm not doing that. I would have never thought that he would have called me to become the senior pastor of a church, but God's just shown me along the way as well. My giftings are inclined towards that way.
Yeah. Oh, praise the Lord. And I think that's what we want in this process of interim ministry, is going not necessarily what does I want to do or what do I think I'm gifted in or the things I think we want to do as a church, but that bigger picture of who is God, what does God want to do, and going, God, if we're not gifted in that at the moment, you're the gift giver. Mm-hmm. You're the one who can lead us in these things.
Yeah, ultimately, it's about us getting on board with what God's doing.
Yeah. Oh, well, praise the Lord. So I wanted to kind of get into just a couple questions, talking through first, what is the intentional interim process? I know for our leadership and our church, there were some reservations initially about having someone come on just for a year. Why would we not just skip and look for a senior minister to begin with? Why is that important to... So first, what is it? And then why is it important?
I think many people would be familiar with a interim process at a church. An interim process is simply where someone comes in from the outside and they want to keep the wheels turning. So it's their goal to continue to encourage and build up the team and to lead them, to do a lot of the preaching and the discipleship in the life of the church. But an intentional interim process is actually pretty different to that. The best way I've heard it explained to me is that my job is 50% pastoring. So I do a lot of the preaching and the leading of the team, etc., but almost 50% consulting as well in helping the church to understand who has God called this church to be. And so not just who has God called this church to be just for now, but who is God calling this church to be into the future as well. And so there's a lot of different parts that are wound up in that. One of the parts is looking back on what God has done over the past. We really want to celebrate the church at the Gabba that's been around for over 150 years in this community, being able to reach out. But then we also want to discern the voice of God and understand what is God saying to this church for this point in time right now? And as an external person coming in, it's far easier for me to be able to do that in probably an objective way.
Yeah.
Because there's certain things that for every single person, when they've been part of a church for a certain amount of time, there's certain things that we can just recognize as normal.
Yeah.
And so it's helpful to have an outside voice to be able to come in and just think, okay, let's lay aside our own preconceptions and our own ideas, and let's simply seek the voice of God for our church for right now. But then it's also looking to the future. And so towards the end of this year, there'll be a process of looking to who will lead the church into this future that God has called this church into. And that's a huge part of what I'll be doing later on this year, is helping the church to discover the right person for that role.
Yeah. I think one of the things that's important for this interim process is I think sometimes we can view this discernment as almost, oh, we outsource it. You know, we have someone else come in, we have them come tell us what we should do, we'll listen to them, we go forward. And I think that's been one of the things that's really stood out differently with how you've been starting this process, is that it hasn't just been, oh, here's Dave and his ideas. It's really been this, no, we're going to discern and hear from God together, come to learn at the feet of Jesus together.
And I think with that, ultimately, in 12 to 18 months, I'm actually not going to be here anymore. And the church will continue on without me and will continue to flourish and continue to reach this community. And so it can't be about what I have as good ideas. It has to be what God is saying to this entire church community as a group. Yeah. Ultimately, we want to rely on His Spirit, not just human ideas.
And I think that's been a really, really good reminder, I think, for us as a church, particularly with having an intentional interim come on. I think there were some some initial reservations of going, oh, here's someone's going to come in, they're going to shake up everything, everything's going to change right away, and it's just going to bring up a lot of problems. And really, we've experienced the opposite of that. I think part of the reason why this intentional interim process has been so needed for us as a church is we had a wonderful senior pastor with Ian Jones, who led this church through so much change from being a church that had, from being in South Bank to now moving to a new location here in the GABA, to going through having a more international focus than we previously have had, and really seeing the church grow and flourish in a lot of this new culture, kingdom culture that he's put so much time and ministry and love into. And I think part of with him kind of finishing up at the church, which he did really well and very humbly and gratefully, I think part of there is a bit of loss that a church experiences when their senior minister finishes. And speaking into kind of your experiences in that, what is that initial response of loss of a senior minister for a church? And how does an intentional interim help in that process of preparing for maybe a new minister?
One of the things I think that Church at the GABA did really well before Ian finished up, and I've been able to catch up with Ian a few times since he finished up. As you said, Tucker did an amazing job, just over 20 years of faithfully serving the Lord alongside the church and bringing significant change in an environment that was probably quite difficult to make that happen. So I really want to affirm his leadership over that time. Really, when you have someone finish after all of that time, the important thing when they're finishing is to be able to reflect on their time together. And I think one thing that's been helpful for me coming in is there was a lot of celebration that already happened for Ian even before he finished. And so he was able to finish really well in this church because, firstly, he did a great job at finishing well, but also the church did a great job in celebrating his ministry over such a long period of time. Yeah. And so there still will be times of mourning, and there will still be times of difficulty because things will be different than they were before. But from what I've been able to assess from the church at the moment is there almost seems to be more of an excitement about the future than anything. Mm. And the reason for that is because they've done such a good job on reflecting on what God has done in the past. Yeah. Part of what I'm here to do as well is not just to help bring change or anything like that. It's also to affirm so many of the things that the church is doing well and has done well for the past generations. Mm.
I think that's a really important aspect, because I think part of looking at all the things that Ian has done, it's also important for us as a church to recognize that gratitude doesn't necessarily end when Ian finished. We can still remember the work and the ministry that he's done and still celebrate that even today, 6 months later. And I think as we reflect on those ministries that he started and have now continued with now volunteers leading them, it's such an encouragement to see his mission and vision for this area was done so much in discipleship of the people in this church that now has still continued with the people that he discipled. Mm. And I know not every church that goes through an intentional interim process has that opportunity. Sometimes you have a senior pastor leave under hard circumstances or not good circumstances, and entering into maybe this process might come with a lot more hurt.
And a lot more healing might be required.
Yeah. Mm. And so I think it's important that when we reflect on what is an intentional interim, it is going to look different church to church. And it's going to look different pastor to pastor. But a lot of it is with that intentionality, there's a build towards that. I think kind of going into our next realities of what does this look like for us as a church, what is needed before an intentional interim begins? Maybe from your side, and then also from the church's side.
I think from my side of things, there needs to be and I would say this is not just myself, this is any intentional interim pastor who's coming in. If an intentional interim pastor is coming into a church, they need to be able to lay aside their own preferences and ideas and thoughts of what they've done before and solely simply seek what is the best thing for this church community right here and what is God saying to this church community. There are certain things that I was able to do and accomplish when I was on the south side of Brisbane, and the church there was full of a lot of tradies and had almost a bit of a country vibe still, even though it's now a city. But then when I moved to the Sunshine Coast, culturally things were very different there.
Yeah.
And people are more relaxed on the Sunshine Coast. People go there to put their feet up and take it easy because that's the surfer lifestyle up there. And then moving back to the suburbs of Brisbane in Bracken Ridge, that was different once again.
Yeah.
A lot of driven young professionals there. And so for me, coming into this environment, an inner city context with a real diversity of people here, directly opposite the Gabba, this church has such a unique way of being able to minister to one another and to minister to the wider community. And so I need to come in here with a bit of a blank slate, but also with certain things I've learned that might be helpful, and just say, God, for this church, let me lay aside my preferences and my even some of my ideas that I may have thought were good, and just say, we're seeking your will for this church. So that's the attitude, I think, that someone should come into a process like this with. I also, on the other hand, with the church, I think it's very important that the church comes into this process with a willingness to embrace what could God be saying?
Yeah.
What could God be doing into the future? So we want to celebrate and affirm everything that has happened over the past 150 years as a church, the past over 20 years under Ian. We want to affirm all of that. But we also want to think into the future, where could God be leading? Because I genuinely, after my 2 and a bit months of being at this church, the language that I've always used is I've never seen a church with more potential.
Yeah.
And that's not me just trying to big note the church or anything like that. The location, the diversity of the people, the beautiful culture that we are able to celebrate on Sunday services, the willingness of people to serve. It really is a great church with a huge potential to be able to see lots of people come to know Jesus.
Hmm. Amen. And I'm excited for that. You know, I think joining God in his work is always going to be joining him in mission and in vision. Hmm. Because God is a God of mission and vision.
Hmm.
And I think one of the things for us as a church that was not what we wanted, but was actually God's will and actually was him preparing us, was when Ian finished, initially we were hoping we would have an interim the next week start, that we would have Ian finish next week or 2 weeks later, we have an intentional interim start. And that did not happen. We were talking with individuals from probably March, and looking for people for this position, and God kept leading people to somewhere else. And end of June came, and Ian finished, and we were going, people were kind of going, God, we want you to work. And God really brought us through a time of waiting. And in that time of waiting, he did a lot of preparation on the hearts of people in our church to go, no, we're here to serve one another already. and we don't need to wait for someone to come in to step up into the ways that Ian was working. And I think if we had had an intentional interim actually start right after Ian finished, we would have actually been a lot easier to have that pastor just take on the stuff that Ian did. Mm. Instead of actually, like you're saying, give room for that process to the interim, to spend time doing the interim process, the intentionality of that process. Instead, what we ended up seeing when we didn't have someone in that role for a few months is people in the church started hearing God talk to them and say, hey, I want you to step up and volunteer and get on team and serve in this way and join this mission team, join this ministry team and lead this English class and this international ministry and this overrun, this oversight of missions communication. And we started seeing all these different areas that Ian was leading, that people Ian had discipled went, here I am, Lord, use me. And I think in that process of people being used by the Lord, and for 4 months of us not having an intentional interim pastor, it brought the church going. Every week we were talking about, we know change is coming, but we know it's not yet. And that repetitive recognition of we want God to be working, but we want him to work in his timing is sometimes some of the hardest process to actually go through. I mean, you don't have to look around our culture very easily to see that we're a culture that is awful with patience and waiting.
We want the now.
We want it now. You know, you're at the bus stop and everybody's on their phone. You're in the bus and everyone's just waiting to get to the next thing. Very rarely do you see a bus come and go, actually, you know, I'm going to wait and I'll just catch the next one. I'm just enjoying the moment. And Australia is a much slower paced than the US, or maybe Brisbane is, because I've heard other Sydney and Melbourne, not so much. but that whole process of waiting is actually such a key part of discerning God's will and walking in God's timing. And so I think for us as a church, when looking at how do we start this process of an intentional interim process well, I think honestly having a time of waiting where people are, you're not going right from one pastor right to an interim. And that's hard. That's a hard process to not have someone in that role, particularly if you're a church where you only have one pastor and then that pastor leaves. What do you do? I think that's where you can really start utilizing some resources from Queensland Baptist, regional ministers, and there's a lot of other people within QB that are happy to come along and preach at a service if that is what is needed in that in-between time. But also having people in your church come up and serve and come up and teach in that time, so that when an interim starts, the process and desire for that process isn't just, like you're saying, a regular interim of, we're just here to keep the cog going, maintenance, let's keep it going as is. But it's really having time and space for that. No, what does God want? What is God doing?
Yeah.
And how are we as a people being open to change?
And it's helpful probably for everyone listening as well to probably understand on my end what God was doing as well, because while the church here was waiting and wondering who is going to be this intentional interim pastor, I had the opportunity to meet up with some representatives of Queensland Baptist, the denomination we're a part of, and they listed to me about a list of, I think, maybe about 14 different churches who were in need of intentional interim pastors at this stage across the entire state. There's a lot of need for leaders.
Can we stop that for just a moment and just pray for those churches that are maybe still looking for that? God, we just thank you that you are a God who is working in your timing and in your will and in your purposes. Lord, we just pray for these churches that are looking to hear from you, to have you work, to have you lead them through change. Would you bring the right people and the right timing, that you would just be a God showing to your people that you are a God who works and a God who loves. We pray for these pastors that will come and fill these roles, but also for these churches that people would be seeking you together in this time of unknown. As Corrie ten Boom prays so well, Lord, may we trust an unknown future to a known God. Amen.
As those churches were presented to me, my heart was solely drawn, only drawn to church at the Gabba. And I can't really say why, because I don't really understand why. But I think it was God's timing for both myself and my family, but also for the church here at the Gabba. And I think probably the giftings that God's given me and the experience that God has given me is probably helpful in regards to where the church find themselves at the moment.
One of my pastor friends in India runs a great mission in over there, and he'll often say that the will of God is always accompanied with the peace of God.
Hmm.
And you're going to go, wow, that's good. And then he lets that sit for a little bit, and then he goes, but the peace of God doesn't come right when you want it to. He's like, that's that process of faith, that struggle of faith and discernment. But it does come. And I know we've had that piece of you joining on here on team with us and kind of helping lead us in this process. So we've kind of talked a little bit about what's needed before a pastor comes in and what's needed from a church before that pastor comes in, having an openness to change, having that blank slate from the pastor's perspective of what is God doing, not just what am I doing. How do then, once you then come in, how then do you actually start? Is it, all right, we're praying, we go in, we start doing, or what, how does that in the practicality look like and start for us?
Yeah. Well, one of the things I wouldn't recommend for an intentional interim to do, which is something I did, is to have a child within the first month or so. of being somewhere. So that added in a few complexities. But I was very encouraged by the church and the people here as we had our baby Raphael. What I would say, I think the thing that was really good for me is I began my time here a month and a half of, I began halfway through November through to the end of December, and it was only part-time, and that was very deliberate because my sole goal when I for that month and a half of being part-time was only to get to know the church.
Mm.
So it is not helpful for anyone to come in and make any decisions or try and bring any sort of change if firstly they don't understand the people that they're working with. And that's what the church is. We're not dealing with an organization. It's not an institution.
Yeah.
It is the church. It is the people.
Yeah.
And different groups of people have different culture. And there are good parts of that and maybe some not so good parts of that. There are things that they have done throughout their time that they see as normal, which might not be normal in other situations. There might be things that they do really, really well that they don't even understand that they're doing really, really well. Mm. And so there's a lot to get to understand about who a group of people is, particularly a group like Church at the Gabba, which is so diverse. It's diverse culturally, socioeconomically, demographically. It's diverse across the board. And so for me, trying to just understand who is this church, and the other thing I would say is not just understanding who are they, but where are they in the journey.
Yeah.
So I didn't know if this church had gone through major hurt or whether this church was excited for change. I didn't know if people were exceptionally reluctant to my presence here. And so it's, you have to find all of those things out when you come into a place.
I think that importance of being known is such an essential part of having any type of impact on, from ministry to discipleship to all aspects of church. Some of the biggest damages that are done is when decisions are made or actions are done without being known, or maybe misunderstandings of known. I've often said from a friend of mine who would say this, he would say that the two biggest causes of frustration in relationships are miscommunication and failed expectations. And the reality is those two are often paired, and they often center around that misunderstanding of not being fully known. To be known and to be loved, that's when those are together, that's when we start to see movement of change together.
And so I would say both of those are key in regards to myself in my relationship with the church. So it's important that I know the church and I love the church. But then I would also say from the church's perspective, it's important that they spend some time to know me and hopefully grow to love me.
Love you as well.
As well.
Yeah.
And we felt very, very loved by the church, in particular when we first had our baby Raphael. Tucker's Life Group was able to put together a lot of gifts for our family, and we felt very encouraged, very loved by that gesture, but by many other people within the life of the church as well. And so it's just a knowing game, really, in that first season. That's what the church needs to do. They need to be willing to be open to get to know the new intentional interim. And I think that's probably difficult in one sense, simply because people are aware this person is only around for about a year. So how deep do they go in knowing this person? But I really think if it's going to be a relationship that makes a lasting difference, just go all in with one another.
Yeah. And I think there's so much to be said in that the nearness that we can have with individuals, time is a big factor. It's a common denominator in all relationships. But it's not the only factor which determines nearness. You look at people that survive hardship together and they've never known each other before. And they go, oh, you've experienced the same thing as me. Now there's this bonding of nearness. And I think when we come into a time of an intentionality of process of change, it's one of those kind of crisis moments for a church where you're going, what is next? What are we going to do? Who are we? And you're having these big questions of mission and vision and ministries and all these things of what does this church look like now? Where is God moving this church to in the future? What are the things we keep? What are the things he's calling us to grow in? And I think those moments are opportunities to grow in that nearness. But if that growing closer together is missing that aspect of love and that aspect of knowing, if you try to go straight to change without those things, that's when people often get hurt. And people they don't feel comfortable to share their concerns or things like that. So in kind of starting this process well, what are some practical ways of how do you start those means of knowing and loving in a church?
Yeah, simply knowing and loving. I think knowing for me came down to even simply having meetings one-on-one with a lot of the key leaders across the life of the church. Leaders in the life of the church have their finger on the pulse of what's going on across the board. And so if you really want to know what a church is like, understand the people who have the influence within the life of the church. Yeah. We have a fantastic staff team here at Church at the Gabba, and so it's been really encouraging for me as I've had conversations with everyone there. I also wanted to understand how the church council operated, and so probably having just one-on-one conversations with many of them who are the governance group of the church is very important too.
Which is a hard season coming into Christmas and summer break.
That's right.
As far as the timeliness of, of you starting. So.
Yeah. And I would even just say just having conversations with people is important. Catching up with Ian has been a real blessing for me. So understanding the past of where he has come from and what he's led through and where he's led to has been very, very valuable in understanding and knowing the church. When it comes to loving the church, I would say that's not really a struggle for me. I have loved every church that I've been a part of. I probably easily love the churches I'm a part of. I don't think every pastor necessarily does that as easily as I do. But I think this church has welcomed me and my family in such a way that it has been easy. I would say for a church, if they desire any pastor, whether an intentional interim or not, if they desire their pastor to love them as a church, don't necessarily love them well, definitely do that, but love their family well. That is key. Yeah. If their family feels embraced by the church, that means so much. Yeah. It means that the connection is really there, that this is their community. It's not just a job.
That is such a good insight. Because I think in reflecting on serving in ministry and things like that, when your family is loved by the church, it really has a tremendous impact. And sometimes that's even practically, from getting meals to financially to whatever it is, it's that relational connection, that it's not just, this is the place my spouse does ministry. It's, this is the place where I have family. And I think for especially a church like this that's very diverse, where family is spread out across the world, coming together as a church to say, hey, we are the family of God together. It's brother, it's sister, it's that familial language. That's such a need for that love and knowing. When you keep people at arm's distance, it's hard to them have them speak the truth into the depths of your heart. And I think that's, sometimes we can have a pastor come on or have a pastor serving in ministry, and we go, we want you to do the ministry. We want you to do the loving of the people that we don't want to love. And that's not necessarily something that I really see in this church, but I think it's one of these things of walking through change has to be something of that. We're in this together as family.
That's right. And that's also what we see painted throughout Scripture. Ephesians 4, 11 and 12, there were the apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors and teachers gifted to the church to equip them for works of service.
Yeah.
So the main part role of a pastor is to help equip all of us to be able to serve the Lord together.
And that's, honestly, that's been one of the biggest blessings I feel like I've loved here at Church at the GABA is seeing that heart of joint service unto one another. I think sometimes we can go, oh, it'd be nice if we had someone serving in this way or this way. But the reality is there's a lot of people serving at this church. We had that team thank you lunch just a couple weeks ago. We had 35, 40 people that came along, and of a church of 60 to 80 people.
On a Sunday.
That's most of your church.
So
I'm just so thankful for the team of people at this church.
And that's only the people serving in a very official capacity.
Way. Yeah, that's it. You have people that are still calling one another within the week that are going, hey, I'm going to make sure I reach out to so-and-so and I pastorally care for them. It's been one of the churches I've loved serving at based on the health of how people approach one another. I've loved it. I continue to love it.
And I'm loving it, mate. It's good.
I'm wondering, Dave, could you just close us in a word of Scripture and giving us some encouragement of this next season? As a church, we've walked through the beginning of the year of being still and knowing who God is. Be still and know that I am God from Psalm 46 and kind of walked through the importance of resting and Scripture and meditating upon Scripture on Sabbath and waiting in that process to hear from God. And now we've kind of started praying through this process of what is next. And we're so thankful that you didn't just say, here is what's next for the church. But you really walked us through this process of how do we discern what is next? And now we're walking through prayer, hopefully starting prayer and fasting very soon, where we're going to be in 21 days of prayer and fasting together, where we're going to be in the Word together, praying together, seeking God together, and just looking forward to hearing from the Lord alongside one another.
Yeah. Just even on that, vision is discovered and discerned. It's not simply presented.
Amen.
So what I want to share is actually what I shared this past Sunday morning, which is from Isaiah 43, very well-known passage of Scripture. But I think it really speaks well into the celebrating and honoring the past, but also primarily looking to the future for what God wants to do. And in Isaiah 43, verse 16 and onwards, it says, this is what the Lord says, he who made a way through the sea, a path through the mighty waters, who drew out the chariots and horses, the army and reinforcements together. They lay there, never to rise again, extinguished, snuffed out like a wick. So right there, Isaiah is pointing to these amazing things that God has done in the past, these ways that he has been faithful, and drawing in particular to one of the most key moments in Israel's history. But then in verse 18, it says, forget the former things, do not dwell on the past. See, I'm doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I'm making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland. The wild animals honor me, the jackals and the owls, because I provide water in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland to give drink to my people, my chosen, the people I formed for myself, that they may proclaim my praise. As I shared this past Sunday, the amazing thing about this passage, it was written at a time where the Israelites were looking towards possibly entering back into the promised land and crossing hundreds of kilometers of desert. And right there, God is declaring his faithfulness. He is bringing them back to the promised land, but he's declaring he's doing a new thing in that promised land as well, and that he will provide every single thing that they need. But ultimately, at the end of that passage, he says, the people who I have formed for myself, that they may proclaim my praise. And ultimately, that's our goal out of all of this, is to understand how God has shaped us. We are a people that he has formed for himself. And so how has he formed us as followers of him in this place in particular? And how can we proclaim his praise in the most effective way we can, both now and into the future?
Amen. I was talking with a random guy at a coffee shop last week, and got talking and heard they're at a church just down the road. And I asked him what he needed prayer for. He said, my prayer is that God would just be glorified.
Wonderful.
In our church and in my life. And I went, that is a beautiful prayer. One of my favorite ways of doing that is actually taking a prayer from one of our congregants here, Caleb, who just prays every morning, God, what are we going to do today? And I love that prayer of approach of just going, God, you're the one that's forming me. You're the one that has a purpose, but I want to praise you in what you are doing. What are we going to do today together?
No agenda.
Let God work. Yep. And as someone who's not as organized as someone like you, I'm like, I love that. but people like you and my wife, they go, yes, but also let's put something on paper and make some plans.
100%. I'm saying all of this stuff so confidently, but in my natural personality, I want to come with plans and ideas and logic. But listening to the voice of God doesn't always operate like that. And yet what he decides is always better than my logical plans that seem to make sense.
Yeah. And I think then on the flip side, even for me, then the things that are, he then calls us to then be practical.
Yes.
And so there is that kind of point where then things do start to shift, where he goes, no, but then act on it.
That's right. He's not a God of disorder, but a God of order.
Yeah.
And so there's a point where all of that comes together. And so we need people who are probably more like you, who are willing to just say, whatever, God, you're doing, just speak to us, please. And then the people like probably me and your wife who will come in at the end and say, okay,
let's actually do it.
Let's make it happen, you know?
Yeah. Oh, that's great. Well, Dave, could you just close us in prayer and then we'll finish up together?
I'd love to. Thank you, Lord, for your Spirit. Thank you for your Spirit that unites us in Christ, no matter where we are. And Lord, we are grateful for this season that we find ourselves in here at Church at the Gabba. You have been faithful to this church over 150 years. And God, we believe that you have great things in store for the next 150 years of this church as well. Lord, this is not about our plans or even our hopes or our thoughts. Solely, Lord, we just desire to be a people who understand how we have been formed for yourself and be a people who may be able to declare your praise in the most effective way that we can in this community. We desire, Lord, to know you more and to see more people come to a saving knowledge of you, Jesus. And so we leave all of this in your hand, and knowing that you will use this process to make that happen. In Jesus' name, amen.